This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. With the election just over a month away, Donald Trump tested positive for the coronavirus. He announced early this morning on Twitter that he and the First Lady both tested positive. This morning, a spokesperson for the Republican National Committee also announced that Ronna McDaniel, the RNC chairwoman, also tested positive. Political analyst Ken Rudin joins us now to talk about how this breaking news could change the last 4 weeks of campaigning. Also share with us his take on two high-profile debates this week, the presidential debate on Tuesday and last night's North Carolina Senate debate. Ken, welcome back.
My God, Frank, talk about October surprises, right?
Right. What? So these positive tests, and we've just learned that Senator Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, who met with Amy Coney Barrett, the president's pick to replace the RBG on the Supreme Court, Mike Lee has tested positive. As far as we know, the Supreme Court nominee has tested negative. All this stuff happening all. But let's talk about the president and what this means for the campaign.
Well, I mean, just for a second, let's go back to Tuesday's debate, if you want to call it a debate, that food fight that we saw on TV on Tuesday. And the president spent a lot of time mocking Joe Biden for wearing a mask. He says, everywhere you go, he's wearing a mask, and it's unbelievable, and he's wearing a mask. And he just mocked it. And to see him, the president, now testing positive, well, first of all, it just changes the whole dynamic of the campaign. It reminds voters, if nothing else, that this is a president who has minimized the significance of the virus, that it's going away, it's getting better, we should open up the country. He would have these rallies as recently as this week without people wearing masks.
We know now, the White House has acknowledged that the president knew one of his close aides, with whom he had been in close contact, had tested positive before he went to the next rally where he came in contact with 100 people.
And not only that, Mark Meadows, the White House chief of staff, the former North Carolina congressman, comes out today to talk to reporters not wearing a mask. Mm. It's like, what lessons do you learn? But the fact is, the American people, I mean, basically, if this is a referendum on the president and his handling of the virus, or mishandling, as some will say, then they'll be reminded that this is he was warned. As a matter of fact, the other day when he had this rally, I don't know if it was Wisconsin, but it was a Democratic governor who begged him, don't have this rally, and if you do, make sure they wear masks. Both were ignored, and there were consequences.
All right. Well, I suppose there's going to be a lot of contact testing, and then the question of how the campaign moves forward, whether there will still be public rallies moving forward, all of that. Still,
and you also have debate. The next debate is scheduled for October 15th, which is less than 2 weeks away. Do they cancel it? Do they postpone it? And already the Commission on Presidential Debates is meeting right now, talking about instituting changes after that disaster from Tuesday.
Well, I think it's a town hall debate too, right? So
it is a town hall.
So
yeah,
that's people in the same place, right?
But again, you know, the fact that the president spent the most of the time interrupting and just not letting Biden get a word in, let alone the moderator getting a word in. The commission, which can make decisions irrespective of what the candidates like, they are talking about making changes now. The Trump people say they may not go along with these changes, but neither candidate, Biden nor Trump, so far, at least Trump getting the positive test, said that they will not abide by what the commission's doing.
Well, let's talk about these debates for a while. I mean, clearly, it's hard to believe that anybody, if you're looking at Joe Biden and Donald Trump, has not made up their mind. It's a little bit difficult to believe that you're going to wait for a debate and what they're going to say to be the thing that determines the outcome for you, right? I mean, my question is, have debates ever served that purpose, and have things changed over time? I know you did the first Caesar Augustus Mark Antony debate.
And I did Lincoln Douglas.
You know him when he was Octavian.
Yeah, right after a Novembian. So anyway, Here's the thing. In 19, you know, so everybody talks about how John F. Kennedy benefited from the debates,
right?
And there's truth to that. But going into the Nixon-Kennedy debates in 1960, Kennedy and Nixon were pretty much tied. They had four debates. Coming out of the debates, they were pretty much tied. And on election day, Kennedy won by 112,000 votes, which is pretty much tied. So for the most part, they don't make a difference. But I will say in 1980, when Jimmy Carter was being challenged by Ronald Reagan, Carter had a slight lead going into their one debate on October 28th. It was at the end of the, only a week to go before the election. Reagan was masterful in the debate. You know, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? There you go again. When after the debate was over, Reagan took the lead and never looked back. So at least in 1980, that made a big difference. But when you think of other debates, you know, Quayle and Benson for vice president, for example, or Gerald Ford, for, you know, saying that there's no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe, there were gaps and there were memorable moments. But for the most part, the debates really don't make a difference.
Well, what about the last night's Senate debate, the U.S. Senate debate for here in North Carolina between Tom Tillis and Cal Cunningham? Again, you have two very different people in that race, obviously big policy differences. But is something like that, a more conventional candidates and a more conventional setting, does that change people's minds?
Well, it could, given the fact that the race is so close. But, I mean, the fact is they both made their points. They both stood their ground. I thought that, you know, I mean, I think Tillis is a very good debater. I thought that Cunningham looked more sure of himself than he did in the second debate. And I don't know if any minds would change. They both made their points about the other one is going to be, you know, a puppet for the either Cunningham is going to be a tool of Chuck Schumer, or Tillis is going to be a robot for President Trump. What really struck me, and this wasn't even part of the debate, was the news that Cunningham raised $28.3 million in the third quarter of their campaign. That is astonishing. And I kind of see that many Democrats, including Cunningham, of course, have benefited financially since the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the anguish among Democrats and liberals that the Republicans are going to, you know, ram another Supreme Court justice down their throats.
Well, speaking of fundraising, we talked about that Donnybrook of a debate on Tuesday, the presidential debate. Again, you know, the idea that anybody's mind might have been changed coming out of that seems a bit preposterous. But it was interesting to see how fundraising, the amount of money that poured in to Democratic coffers after that debate. Again, even you have to imagine that you knew who that guy was if you were a Democrat. But then the pockets opened up when they saw that performance.
Well, part of it is, you know, something, you're absolutely right. There were very few voters who were on the fence. The point that Joe Biden was trying to make by looking into the camera and said, look, you've got to vote. It's one thing to say, let's talk about the black vote, for example. Yes, maybe Joe Biden will get 95% of the black vote, but will it be 95% of 100,000 or will it be 95% of 20 million? In other words, it's not so much what the polls show. It's not that people have not made up their minds. They've got to come out and vote. That's one of the reasons why President Trump during the debate was denigrating the whole system, that the vote doesn't count, that it's rigged, that it's a fraud. The more times he says that, the more times people say, well, maybe my vote doesn't matter because it's not going to be counted. And that's what Biden was trying to do, said, you've got to vote.
Let's turn to this upcoming Senate confirmation hearings now for Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett. What kind of impact do you think this is going to have on the election?
Well, look, for the most part, I mean, the Senate races that are already decided I mean, basically, you know, in the 35 Senate races that are up there, the Democrats will win theirs and the Republican will win theirs. But there are at least six races where it will make a difference. Now, it seems like in Maine, Susan Collins, who regrettably for her voted for Brett Kavanaugh, says she's not going to vote for Amy Coney Barrett, at least not before the election. So maybe she's off the hook with that, although they're still angry at her for the Kavanaugh vote. But there are others like Tillis, Cory Gardner in Colorado, like Martha McSally in Arizona. These are states where the races are so close. And the anger, it's not so much that President Trump doesn't have the right to name a Supreme Court justice. Absolutely, he does. But the hypocrisy of the Lindsey Grahams and the Mitch McConnells, who said, no, you can't have a vote, President Obama, in 2016 with Merrick Garland because it's a presidential race, and then suddenly saying in 2020, hey, let's have a vote 30 days before the election. There's a lot of anger in the country over that, and that could prove significant in the Senate races.
You know, I'm thinking about these debates again. I'm just going back there for a moment because you mentioned vice presidential debates. I wonder, could they be any more significant in this race, and they haven't, certainly they haven't mattered much in the past, but I wonder if it matters any more this time.
I think it probably, you know something, I think it matters less than ever before. It's the exact opposite of what you just said, and that means it's probably the last time I'll ever be on your show.
No, but, that's charming.
No, but the fact is, I mean, if you think of, you know, Quayle, you know, with Quayle and Lloyd Benson, you know, you're no Jack Kennedy, and everybody said, oh my goodness, and yet Bush and Quayle won 40 out of 50 states in 1988. Ultimately, and especially this time, this whole race is about the presidency and especially about Donald Trump. So I think, like, look, Mike Pence is a good debater. He's cool. He's confident. I think he even beat Tim Kaine 4 years ago because Kaine was kind of frenetic and interrupting all the time. And Kamala Harris, we saw her during the confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh and Jeff Sessions. She's a very good interrogator. But ultimately, this will be about Donald Trump. And, you know, lots of luck next Wednesday. The two of them will go at it in a debate. And I think Thursday we'll say, okay, what is Trump doing now?
Ken Rudin, always a pleasure. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
You can find links to Ken's analysis at our website, stateofthings.org.